This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Welcome back to the show. Big Ranger game tonight. You can hear it right here on 98.7 ESPN. The pregame show is at 6:30. Game time is at 7, and Don is going to call the play-by-play. Now, do we have our next guest, Andrew? Yes, we do.
Oh, sure.
It's time for today's Aaron Boone Report on 98.7 ESPN, brought to you by Woodbridge, by Robert Mondavi, and this is the manager of the team with the best record in Major League Baseball, the New York Baseball Yankees, and here is Aaron Boone. Hi, Aaron. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Doing great. Have you seen video of your argument yesterday?
I have.
And what do you think when you see? I think it was an excellent performance.
Yes.
I don't know. I wish I could have said a few more things that I definitely wanted to get in there, but it got a little too heated that it just started to be screaming at each other. So I don't know. I guess my favorite part about it is probably the crew chief there just looked like he had a smirk on his face, letting us do our thing. Marty Foster is a guy, like, I really like Marty Foster, the umpire. We have a good relationship. And he started getting after me pretty good. But, just one of those things that, I had an issue with a couple things, and obviously an important tight game and didn't go our way. But, one of those – I had to calm down a little bit afterwards. Just came in a little sore after that one.
Where does the line get drawn, Aaron, of where, like, you know, at this point this is not going to be an effective argument? I mean, you're already kicked out of the game. At what point is it somewhat performative and you're like, I just need to show my guys I am going to fight for them?
I don't think it's performance. I think it's I'm really ticked off and I'm more, I kind of figured that the 2-0 pitch to him at that at bat that was in off the plate, I thought it was in. So I was already fuming from the last time. The thing that got me going, honestly, was when in Judge's previous at bat with a runner on third and one out, and they go to the mound, and it's clearly a pitch around situation where they have the lefty on deck and they're just not going to give Judge anything to hit. And that's the scenario. Like, Kikuchi's not trying to throw him a strike. He's going to, if he can get them to expand and get them out, great. And I just thought Judge did a really good job of laying off that 3-2 pitch down and out of the zone that where they're trying to get him to chase, and they get rewarded in that spot for pitching around. So that's the one that really got me going. And then obviously it culminated in that whatever eighth inning.
Now, you know you're going to get thrown out the second you start arguing balls and strikes, right? Or do you think there's at least a shot when you were talking about make the adjustment that maybe you might be able to survive the three times you said it?
No. I knew once I started at him that at bat, because I had gotten after him pretty good the previous at bat. And he pretty, yelled over enough and pretty firmly on the Kikuchi at bat there in whatever the fifth or sixth inning it was. So I knew once I started back up that, it might not go well. And, and I was pretty aggressive with how I was going at it. So I understood that. And then I was going to get my point across.
Now, Aaron, I'm not sure if you're familiar with the John Boy Media Empire, but they're the ones who read your lips with Savages in the Box. And they also came up right after the argument yesterday that you said he's 6-7. And then RotoWare had a T-shirt out last night with he's 6-7. I mean, you've become a cottage industry for John Boy and RotoWare. It's amazing.
I didn't know that. That's what I said, 6-7.
He's
6-7.
And then you said it without the bleeping as well. It's just great.
Oh, man. Yeah, so... Now, we'll see those T-shirts now.
Yeah, now obviously we work with Paul O'Neill, and when he was a player, he would go crazy on umpires. He'd hit the Gatorade, and he explained that it really hit him how out of control he was when he would walk into his house and his young children, his wife would look at him and go, really? So you've got kids, you've got a wife. When you got home, I mean, you got home last night at about 4:30 in the morning, but when they saw you today, right, did they go, really?
None of them had said anything to me yet. So I don't know if I have to broach the subject or if it's just going to be this unsaid, well, Dad did it again or something. I don't know.
Now,
real proud of it in that regard.
But is it absolutely something they're thinking about, or is there also a chance that with teenagers in the house, your family just simply doesn't care about what you do at work?
Oh, no.
There's probably a little bit of that part, yeah. But no, I know, my daughter, she watches all the games too. I know she's thinking something, and eventually she'll bring up something to me.
All right, so let's bring up the real serious part of this, Aaron. I told you yesterday when we were walking to the plane that, the guys on the post game, Ryan and Jack, reported that since his career has begun, Aaron Judge has had 366 strikes called on below the strike zone, the bottom of the strike zone. People do not call him as if he's 6'7". So how does this change? Mm-hmm. Because he has really been a victim of this for a while.
Yeah, I do feel like there's times that umpires do actually make a little bit of an adjustment to, with that in mind, like it's in their head, but there are still a number of games where he does get that, call just below the zone. And part of it too is, as great a hitter as he is, he's patient. So he's not a guy up there that's going chasing those pitches. A lot of hitters, of my caliber are swinging at those pitches just down, so you don't get a chance to have them called. But part of his greatness is his ability to lay off really, really tough pitches like that. And I think to be a great hitter, you've got to have that ability and you've got to have that nerve, which he does. So, but there's no question that, obviously that's worked against him, over time. But I do feel like there are times when umpires do have it in mind, like I know he's taller and I've got to make that adjustment.
We had Buck Showalter on about a week ago, right after they had this like thrilling come from behind victory against the Cardinals. And he talked about how you want to go in the room and tell them, okay, guys, it's just one, but you also want them to enjoy the moment. In the grand scheme through the first 25, Aaron, is that a fine line of, hey, enjoy that we're the best team in baseball, but also remind them that, hey, it's only May 5th.
Don, the thing I've felt with this team from day one in spring training is that goes without saying with this group. They are really, really focused and really, really a strong-knit group and really dedicated to, like, we have to be a great team. We're going to be a great team, and we're going to do everything we can to make sure we're prepared, ready to go. And that's something that's leaped off the page to me about these guys from day one in spring training. So that's not something I worry about. I think it's always important that, and we do every night, after a win, we come in and enjoy that together as a team, whether for 5-7 minutes, where we give out the belt and those things. And I think it's important through the grind of the season, the ups and downs of the season, to, appreciate victories every day, because ultimately that's what we're working for. We want to shake hands at the end of the day. That's what you pour so much into, be in that position. And I think you need to pause and enjoy that, and then it's quickly on to the next one. But so far, that's not something I worry about with this group.
Now, a specific about yesterday, the ninth inning, your team doesn't quit. It comes back. It's got bases loaded, but you did pinch. Oh, well, not you. I don't want to get you in trouble. Carlos Mendoza pinch ran Tim LeCastro after you got thrown out. Were you disappointed that he did not steal second base at any point, or at least try? Because, again, not falling into the fallacy of the predetermined outcome, but there's a base hit that comes after that. It's probably a tie game. What stopped him from running, in your opinion, Aaron?
Romano. And Romano's been a guy that you can easily run against in the past. And this was another level of, And it probably helped us in the batter's box a little bit, frankly, because we've never seen him that quick to the plate, where he was clearly doing all he could to keep LeCastro. So LeCastro was you know, orders of going out there and doing his thing. And like, when you can get the bag, you go get the bag. But, you know, they did a really good job of, you know, mixing up his holds, mixing up his looks. He was like remarkably quick to the plate. You know, when we put a stopwatch on him every pitch, and we're kind of, you know, measuring, and you have your little checkpoints to where, okay, I know what kind of jump I need to get and whatnot. So, give some credit to Romano there for a guy that's typically not very quick. Mm-hmm. Did a pretty good job from keeping him from running.
In the long haul, can you survive getting this little offensively from your catcher?
Yes. I mean, you know, they're going to hit more than they are right now. There's no question in my mind. I think they've been so impactful behind the plate that, you know, that's been one of the reasons we've been able to flourish here in the early season. But those guys will hit, and those guys will pick up the pace, and we need them to, and we expect them to. But confident that they will, you know, more than hold their own there at the bottom of the order. But, you know, that's one of the areas where, you know, if we stay healthy too, we feel like we have good pieces to where, you know, we can shoot a really good hitter in a big spot late in the game as well.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
11 in a row, and obviously you want to win every single game. And yesterday you guys battled, and you lose 2-1. Do you get depressed because you lost, or do you sit back and go, 11 out of 12, I'll take that?
You definitely enjoy the 11 and things when you're going through and you're winning every day, because I think we all appreciate how difficult it is to rack up wins and to do win consecutively. And so to be on that kind of run, you kind of appreciate that. But yeah, leaving last night, I mean, you know, especially you're close, you certainly get over it and get past it. But there's a little bit of that, you know, we're leaving town, we got a long road back, you know, getting in at 4:30 in the morning, getting back to the house. Like, there's, you know, a lot of time there. It's like, man, we almost had it, you know. So there's a little bit of that disappointment, frustration, but, you know, that's part of it. And you know, in this game, you get used to, you know, kind of turning the page quickly, win or lose.
I'm wondering too. Like, I really enjoy broadcasting this team, and I think fans are enjoying it. It's a fun team. It has different aspects that you haven't had in the past. Now, you've managed a 103 win team with the Yankees, so you've had really good teams. But is this team more fun for you because there's more toys to play with?
Mm-hmm. I've loved this group. You know, I really have. It's, you know, and again, I caution everything. It's May 5th. You know, we had a long ways to go. But, you know, I've felt very strong that we potentially have a very special group from very early in spring training. You know, the last couple of years with the pandemic and everything that's gone on in the world, and just 2020, 2021 were just, you know, tough years. You know, there are rewarding parts about it, but some tough years. You know, this year's gotten off to the right kind of start. And I think, you know, the chemistry and the makeup, and I feel like people really being on the same page has been a strong point to this point, and we need to work and to continue that and to not take that for granted, because I do feel like we have something really good brewing.
Now, the Red Sox are trailing again today. I'm sorry, Don. And you come into today 8 games ahead of them. You said it's May 5th, but 8 games is 8 games. And, you know, Don always says this. They don't take away wins. You know, you bank them and you never lose them. Is that a significant lead over the Red Sox at this point?
I mean, that's a pretty big number, yeah. But I always caution, man. I mean, you know, we were buried in a lot of ways last year, you know, in July. You know, I remember losing – another tough game might have been 4th of July or just after that. And then we kind of pedaled the metal and played sort of lights out the final 2 months to be able to get into the playoffs. So you always realize whether things are going really well or things are, or you're going through a tough stretch or you're struggling, that it is a really long season and you got to temper everything with that. It is the ultimate grind, the ultimate marathon. And, like you said, you want to rack up and bank as many wins as possible, and you take it at every chance you get. And, you know, I'm happy. We're thrilled we're off to this kind of start record-wise, but you also realize, you know, it's very early in this.
And look at last year, Aaron, right? You had the 13-game winning streak in August, and then you followed that up, like what, dropping 6 of 7 and kind of falling back into being – not the same team again, and you were very streaky and inconsistent last year. Do you think this team's different in that way, or you hope it would be different than last year?
Yeah, I sure hope so. I mean, that was the toughest part of last year, was just the ups and downs that we had. You know, it was such a roller coaster ride. You know, we were inconsistent, you know, offensively for much of the year. Our pitching was the kind of thing that stabilized us and carried us the whole way. And then really Judge and Giancarlo, you know, catching absolute fire and carrying us offensively the second half of the season. That's what kind of propelled us in. But I hope we're more equipped. I hope the makeup and the balance of our team makes us more equipped to not be on that roller coaster ride. But we gotta go make that happen. We gotta make sure that doesn't happen, and certainly that's one of our goals.
What has happened to Michael King? Now, he was pretty good last year, but now, I mean, 9 up, 9 down, perfect yesterday, and he does it. I know it's not easy, but he makes it seem easy because his stuff is so great. How did he take this next jump, Aaron?
It is remarkable. I mean, you'd have to ask him. I mean, he is He's always had a ton of confidence. Even last year, you know, and I've talked about this before, maybe even with you guys, you know, even early in the year when he was still kind of finding his way a little bit, he was always super confident and, like, you know, just tremendous belief in himself. And he's very interested in the craft of pitching and a lot of the new tools out there and the toys that, you know, kind of, you know, gets in the off season and works, and, you know, gets into all the numbers and the, you know, things and the spin and all the things you can do with a baseball. And he's very, very into that and very into his craft. And I think he's applied it very well. You know, he's applied it to his game very well. And we've seen him go from that kind of cross-bodied sinker slider, you know, with a changeup, to being much more in control of his delivery. That's a little bit unique with that kind of crossfire, how he does it. He's able to repeat that much better. So he started to become a way better strike thrower last year. And ultimately that's what he's become now, a much better strike thrower. There was inconsistencies before as he was kind of finding his way. Now we're seeing that elite strike throwing to go along now with that good two-seamer, really good changeup, the slider, but also a four-seamer that he uses just as much as a two-seam, that, you know, with that, with the changeup and the slider, helps him start to really neutralize left-handed hitters as well. So
did he get Kluberized?
An awesome arsenal.
He gives that. A lot of credit to Corey Kluber. Did he get Kluberized? Did he help?
I'm sure Corey helped him. Corey was one of those guys that I think was a really good teammate, you know, and kind of mentor to a lot of our pitchers. I think he rubbed off well on a lot of pitchers. So you'd have to ask him to what level there. But yeah, I think Corey was a good teammate in that regard.
Now, Aaron, the other night we had an awesome moment in Toronto where that fan catches a ball and hands it to the kid wearing the Judge jersey. And I know you're not going to speculate on the contract situation with Aaron, but it just got me to thinking about how important this guy is culturally to this team. He really is the face in so many ways. Can you expound upon that and how important he is and also how realistic him becoming captain of this team potentially is?
Yeah, obviously he's such a special player, but, you know, especially playing here for the Yankees, he's just such a, you know, one of the faces of the game, obviously, the face of our team. And I just think does so many things that, you know, make fans and especially young fans really revere him, like his teammates revere him. You know, that's the great thing about Aaron is for being this superstar player, like he is so team first that it just makes it a joy to be able to manage a guy like him and to see that moment. You know, I watched the video and just watched it all, and it's kind of touching video. It's so cool to see. And then to get to kind of see it from a few feet away unfold yesterday with him being down on the field, with the Blue Jay fan being down on the field, and then to see how Aaron approaches them and how approachable Aaron is for this larger-than-life figure, it's been something that's always impressed me about Aaron, his ability to connect in a gentle way with fans and especially young fans.
All right, I've got two more before we let you go, all right? This one is to dive deep into your mind. So Ryan Tannehill said the other day, I'm not any teacher. I'm not teaching Malik Willis. He goes, I still want to play. So if Aaron Boone is 33 and still in his mind wants to play four more years, and say you were with the Reds and they have this young hotshot player, would you tutor him and help him, or would you say, I'm trying to keep my job here?
Oh, I think one of your responsibilities as a teammate is to pass on what you can do or help where you can.
Even if you could lose your job?
Even if it's a guy in competition for you. If you're meant to have a job and if you're a really good player, then that'll take care of itself. But I think it's incumbent on you as a teammate to be the best kind of teammate you can be to guys that are there, to guys that are coming into the clubhouse. And, you know, that's, for me, that's part of it.
And one final thing. When I see you arguing, we'll come full circle. I like you. I consider you a friend. And I get a little worried. I see the veins popping out in your neck. You've had a pacemaker put in. Do you ever worry health-wise that you're going to go crazy like that and just push yourself to a brink that you shouldn't be at?
No, because I'm always actually in more control than I think you might think. I got pretty heated last night, but I think I was still, you know, in control of what I was doing to some degree. Now I will say, like I said last night, like I went in, man, and I was a little bit sore and kind of had to catch my breath a little bit. So it was the first time where I was like, whoa, maybe go a little easier, but no, I don't worry about that.
I love the gum toss. I mean, it was a beautiful.
That was the highlight.
That was the highlight for me. You had the presence of mind. Let me get rid of this gum because I'm getting in close.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't approve of all my actions, that's for sure.
Well, next week, tell us what your daughter says to you, okay?
All right, I will.
We'll see you. I'll see you tomorrow.
Thanks, Aaron.
All right. Thanks, guys. Thanks.
That's today's Aaron Boone Report, brought to you by Woodbridge by Robert Mondavi. From opening day to the World Series, no wine goes better with baseball than Woodbridge by Robert Mondavi, proud sponsor of the New York Yankees. All right, we'll come back. We'll take some questions. You just heard what Aaron Boone had to say. It's Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, Boone, and you right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.